in the whole 6010.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. It is Tuesday, October 20th, and we are on to week 7 NFL regular season, which means we are just 1 week shy. Like at this time next week, yeah, we'll be more than halfway through the fantasy football regular season. That's wild.
Crazy.
It went fast.
It really did.
It always does, though.
It really does. You know, it's like, I think we could, well, because it's also because you're like, oh, wait, are we playing on Tuesday? Wait, no Thursday night game. Oh, wait, we got a doubleheader on Monday. Like, there's just been so much tension and craziness that it has seemed to fly by.
And beyond that is, I think we've reached the point of the season. And by the way, we have Stefania Bell with us as well today. And yep, Kyle Soppy sitting in for the Daniel Dopp chair. He'll do an excellent job, minus a beard. But we're at the point now that if you have complaints or frustration, yeah, he will.
It's a low bar to set. A low bar to clear. I'm with you there. I understand what you're saying.
It's always fair to talk trash about someone when they're not on the show.
You know what?
No one listens. We just download.
No, absolutely. And the other thing is that I think Daniel would agree with this too. Nothing I say is nothing I wouldn't say to Daniel's face.
Right. That's a good point.
As anyone that listened to yesterday's show knows, that Daniel was supposed to do a book report on quote unquote his favorite movie of all time, Crocodile Dundee 2. What did he do? And then show up. It's like, you know how like when you were in high school, you probably didn't do this. Kyle knows what I'm talking about. Stefan, actually, listen, I'm the only one on the show that knows what I'm talking about. Just think about it. Like you're a goody two shoes. Kyle's a goody two shoes. Stefania's a goody two shoes. But like, you know, when you had a test the next morning and you're like, you know what? I didn't study like this, but mom, I'm sick. Mom, I can't make it to school. You know, sometimes kids will pull that trick. My kids try it now. That's what Daniel did. I'm sure Daniel did. Daniel's like, I know nothing about Crocodile Dundee 2. I was talking out of my butt yesterday. And so I'm just going to call in sick. Stefania, right? Because you never did that, Stefania. You're like a goody.
I wasn't allowed to call in sick. Yeah, I have a story about that I'll save for another time when my mom made me ride the bus when I was sick.
Hey, Papa Bell.
Papa Bell ran a tight ship.
Hey, by the way, Papa Bell turns 89 today.
How about that?
And he is a loyal listener and a watcher. They watch every day.
And I think West Coast, it's so early.
Yeah.
It's magical how they can watch after. But yes.
Yeah. Oh. Well, anyway, Papa Bell, happy 89th birthday. And, you know, for people that don't know, I think we've discussed this multiple times on the show, but Papa Bell, obviously a veteran as well. So thank you for service as always. Proudly served our country. So we love Papa Bell here at the 06010.
He turns 90.
89.
91 year from today. I was going to ask Matthew any advice for him. How to spend that last year.
Yeah, waking up early to listen to your favorite podcast is what keeps you young.
Oh, man. All right. Let's get into all the football. We had two games last night. Two games on Monday Night Football. Monday late afternoon football. The game started at 4 p.m. in Arrowhead time, which, ding. Kansas City wins this game over the Bills. Kind of a weird game. Weird game. Right,
super weird game. I thought both games were weird.
It was 26-17 was the final. I agree with that. But we'll get to the Cowboys Cardinals game in just a minute. But
yeah,
the Chiefs win 26-17, and I was having this conversation with Dan Graziano and Jason Fitz last night. Like, I almost feel like if it's gonna rain, I'd rather it be like full on monsoon,
sloppy,
or snow. Like last night was the worst kind of rain. It just looked like it looked cold, even though apparently it wasn't that cold. No one seemed particularly enthused to be there. There wasn't a rhythm for either offense.
No, it looked ugly. It was an ugly football game. It was just like like an ugly December football game between two teams that, you know, weren't in the playoffs.
Yeah.
As opposed to a, you know, mid-October game between two of the best teams in the AFC.
Right. So good enough, though, for Patrick Mahomes to get 20-plus fantasy points last night. Think about that. He did not even have a great game by his own standards, but he has 225 passing yards, two throwing touchdowns, plus 36 rushing
yards. He's been running more this year, which has been great. And in a game in which, you're like, he didn't really do much, didn't really feel like he was in rhythm, and Tyreek Hill didn't go off. Still winds up with just falls into 20 fantasy points.
Right. Yeah. 20.6 fantasy points for him. And you know what?
He's ridiculous.
I think the rushing has a chance to sustain because I think part of it's probably how teams are attacking the Chiefs.
Sure.
But you have to either drop an 8 in coverage, which that's tough because that means you're going to leave plenty of room near the line of scrimmage for Patrick Mahomes to beat you with his legs. And unless it's like third and 17, he might very well rush for the first down.
And Mahomes talked about that in the post-game press conferences as well. He just talked about that. Like they asked about the success that Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Yes.
Super weird. Joe Buck, like, and I'm a Joe Buck fan, but it was super, was it triggering to you to keep hearing him say Helaire with the H?
Well, in Joe Buck's defense, the man is calling a game.
I mean, 1,000%.
The guy is...
I'm a Joe Buck fan. I'm a Joe Buck. This is not a trashing of Joe Buck. And I'm the one, and I would, when I first got on the air, I said Helaire as well. I'm just amazed that no one at Fox got in his ear and said, like, by the way, it's Helaire. Because Aikman said it right. Anyway, whatever. I digress. Here's the thing. Patrick Mahomes, just I'm going to reset for the video team here. Patrick Mahomes talked about this in the post-game press conference field, which is where he talked about the fact that one of the reasons why Clyde Edwards-Helaire was able to get such great running lanes is that's what they were doing. They were dropping eight in coverage. They were like, we're not going to let you beat us over the top. We're going to keep everything in front of us. We're going to play back, and we're okay giving up a 5-yard, 7-yard run, as long as we don't give up a 40 or 50-yard touchdown. And so that's what they did. And so Kansas City, and Mahomes talked about this, says we're going to take what they're going to give us. Yeah. And that's what they gave us. So that's why Edwards-Helaire had the game that he did, why Mahomes had another nice game rushing. You know, I don't know. There weren't a lot of designed runs. But yes, if you've got eight back in coverage and you can't find anyone, Chiefs offensive line played well, Mahomes is going to find a way to beat you. I will say, the pirouette spin move. I don't know how to describe that play, but like,
it was great.
That was unbelievable.
So for those that may have missed it, there was a play where Patrick Mahomes ran past the line of scrimmage and then was like, wait, if I backtrack, maybe I can hit a defender who seems to be open. And then he was like, oh, wait, I can't cross the line of scrimmage and then go back behind the line of scrimmage and throw it because that's a penalty. So I'm just going to go ahead and run for the first down. And he managed a first down when there were like three defenders there. Ridiculous.
Yeah, there was this play where he runs to the sideline, he comes back, he like, and they think he's going to go out of bounds, and then he pivots. He does like this. It's hard to explain unless you actually see it, but he like literally does like a pirouette and then scampers back up the sideline. Everyone else has given up on the play. I don't know. I think he fell short of the first down. It looked like he got it, but I think they didn't give it to him. But still. Whatever. Patrick Mahomes is magical. Hashtag, you know, story at 10. You know, yeah, I mean, like, we all know this, right?
Let's keep moving along here because there are a couple of maybe interesting Chiefs conversations. So Clyde Edwards-Helaire had 161 rushing yards plus 4 catches for 8 yards. Good for nearly 21 fantasy points last night. Best fantasy game of his season. And go figure, right?
Of course. Well, because it's so funny. So my friend Peter Overzet, who I think is very funny on Twitter, Peter tweeted something out like, last chance for CEH to have a rager before the parents come home, which is, you know, which I thought was a really good point. That's right, because it's like Le'Veon Bell's going to show up. And even though we expect Le'Veon Bell to be in a complimentary role, that CEH is still going to be the starter for Kansas City, the fact is that it is unlikely that he gets the amount of work that he got yesterday. That CEH, my guess is that when we look back at the end of the year, unless there's an injury to Le'Veon Bell, that this is the game that CEH has the most touches in a game.
Yeah, that's
most total touches in a game.
Probably true. Now, the counterpoint would just be that if he's running as well as he did last night, that he won't be used less frequently, but they signed Le'Veon Bell for a reason. I think we still saw Darrell Williams have a rushing touchdown last night. So yeah. I think this, while last night kind of went, I think in some ways, as we expected, a nice night for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I think it's going to be a bit of a...
Is he a sell high? Is he somebody that you would explore trade? If you have Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he's coming off this big game.
Yeah, I get it.
There was a lot of reports out there yesterday, and we've talked about it, including Jay Glazer on the pregame show, where Jay Glazer said, like, listen, Le'Veon Bell is coming there to just spell Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Yeah, it's still his job. Would you explore and see what you could get for him in a trade? And if so, what would you take if you had CEH on your team?
It probably would have to be a running back who has either been slightly less consistent than Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but still ranks comparably in terms of total points. And I understand that total points is not always a great metric for assessing a player's value because some of its availability.
CEH or Kenyon Drake?
I probably still prefer Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Me too.
But that's a fairly reasonable proxy. I mean, if you're going to trade him for a wide receiver, probably somebody that you're starting every single week, which sounds easy enough, but then you're like, go look through wide receivers this year. It's been way less dependable than you'd expect most seasons. I'm not using last night as an excuse to go rush and try to trade him, but if opportunity knocks, I'm open to it. Because, again, it's 5 games of him being He's had, what, four okay games, two solid games in fantasy, and for as great, as like awesome the expectations were coming into this year, and as well as he played last night, 20.9 fantasy points is most in a game this season.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So,
CEH or Joe Mixon?
Ah, man, I got bad vibes about Joe Mixon right now. So I probably would stick with CEH.
Yeah, here's what I would say. I think people drafted CEH thinking they were getting like a top five, top six fantasy running back.
Got one for you.
That's out the door. Yeah. But I think if you reset expectations, say like, hey, this guy is going to be a very serviceable, solid, mid-tier RB2, which is what I think he will be the rest of the season, then I think you're okay. And by the way, like, yes,
got one for you.
You didn't get Derrick Henry. Okay, fine. But you also avoided Saquon Barkley. You also avoided Christian McCaffrey. What?
No,
what's that noise?
You avoided them? Like, they have no, you know, like.
Well, I'm just saying is that.
First week of the season, right?
Right. Like, but avoid, listen, all due respect to Saquon, and we expect McCaffrey back sooner rather than later. But the fact here is that by avoid, I mean, it's just like you had a first round pick. You took a running back, and it easily could be worse. I know there are people that drafted CEH that are lamenting their choice. And I'm saying like, look.
Could have been Kenyon Drake would be a good example, I think.
Could have been Kenyon Drake. Could have CEH or Aaron Jones.
I still prefer Aaron Jones.
I agree. CEH or Dalvin Cook.
Dalvin Cook by far.
There you go. All right. I'm just saying he's on a bye this week. He was banged up last week. He didn't play last week. All right.
I got one. Last one here.
What do you got?
CEH or Kareem Hunt?
Oh, that is a good one.
So Kareem Hunt going to be the starter for four more weeks with Nick Chubb expected to miss around six. He's missed two so far.
Right.
Then Nick Chubb returns, and you'd think that maybe Kareem Hunt goes back to what he was for the first couple of weeks.
By the way, for the first couple of weeks, Kareem Hunt was good. Now, it was touchdown dependent, but he was good.
Good, yeah.
I think I'm going to still say, boy, that's a close one, but I'm going to say Kareem Hunt.
Okay.
I'm actually going to say Kareem Hunt.
I'm going to go with Kareem Hunt as well, but it makes me really.
But that's, I mean, that's like right there. Yeah. Right there. I got one for you. One last one. Here you go. CEH or Chris Carson?
Oh, Chris Carson for sure. Chris Carson's been awesome this year.
I know.
He's been incredible.
I know.
He's off his bye now, too.
Chris Carson.
I mean, you get an extra game relative to what you'd have from
I understand. I'm just, people out there don't realize how good Chris Carson's been. I bang the drum for him every year.
Tyreek Hill, quiet night for him last night. Just three catches for 20 yards. Good for 5.5 fantasy points. What are you going to do? DeMarcus Robinson, though, of course, right? Everybody's trying to make Mecole Hardman happen. And I said this last week. That was my joke that, like, it really wasn't that funny, but it was like a joke that was sort of a statement too, right? It was like, of course, oh, you dirt dog.
I'm just saying, like, you know, it's like it wasn't that funny. I'm just like, right, that's par for the course.
Woo-hoo! All right, you better watch
out. Am I right?
I've been holding back recently.
No, stop it. Here's what it is. No, listen, I'll be very clear about this. You're really funny on Twitter. Mm-hmm. He's really funny on Twitter. Thirsty Kyle, tell me I'm wrong.
He is funny on Twitter.
There you go.
I'm not denying that, but. Like,
but
are you saying you're funnier than him? Like, there's got to be...
Yes. 1,000%. Mm-hmm. 1,000% on this show, 1,000% I'm funnier than him.
Okay. All right. Welcome. All right. See you.
Yeah. Here's the thing. If I'm not funnier than him, then why am I even here? Like, seriously. You're a better host, younger,
you got
better looking.
Qualities. Lots of redemptive qualities.
Name one.
You went to school.
We don't have enough time.
Rich.
Yeah, there you go.
Fair enough.
No.
DeMarcus Robinson.
Yes, DeMarcus Robinson. Let's go.
So
that was your joke last week. We're going to try to make Mecole Hardman.
We're going to have Mecole Hardman in our lineups, and then DeMarcus Robinson is going to get eight targets. He only got six, but he had five catches for 69 yards. I think probably we're far enough into this dynamic of Patrick Mahomes with Tyreek Hill as his number one wide receiver that we, no matter who it is the number two wide receiver, Matthew, it's a coin flip. I mean, Byron Pringle was getting play last night. He's actually a pretty good little player for them, by the way.
The truth is their number two wide receiver is Travis Kelce. Or vice versa.
One. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. So, yeah. It reminds me, this is starting to become the Saints, right?
A little bit, yeah.
In the sense that, like, we always try to make someone happen, and you're like, oh, great offense, and, like, you know, the guy who's opposite Michael Thomas, less attention paid to him, yada, yada, yada. We had this in previous iterations of the Saints. Marcus Colston, when they had Jimmy Graham. Maybe not.
If there's one thing to point to, it's that DeMarcus Robinson ran 27 routes last night, and Mecole Hardman ran 10. So almost a 3-to-1 difference in terms of the amount of routes that those guys ran, and Hardman only got one target. So whether that was by design because of the way they were playing the team, and again, like we talked about the fact that, like, listen, Buffalo played back. Buffalo's like, we're not giving up anything underneath. And so if you're taking away the deep, you know, the taking away the deep ball, then you're taking away Mecole Hardman at this point of the, you know, so I don't know. it's hard to put anything on one particular game, and it might have been sort of game plan specific, but I thought it is notable that, again, Hardman ran 10 routes, Robinson ran 27.
By the way, the Sammy Watkins injury was expected to be just 1 to 2 weeks, right? So yeah. This may be moot anyways by as soon as next week. Let's get to the Bills. Not a great night for Josh Allen, obviously. Dude. 2 touchdowns, 1 pick, 42 rushing yards, still 15.1 fantasy points.
Didn't feel like it, though.
Didn't feel like it, and I don't want to say
second week in a row he looked bad. The offense looked bad.
58.8% completion percentage for Josh Allen over the past two games. 0 rushing touchdowns in the last two games after 3 rushing touchdowns in the first 4 games. And by the way, he was completing 71% of his passes in the first 4 weeks. You know, some of this is expected, right? They play better teams. Like, they're not playing the Dolphins and the Jets anymore, right?
Right.
The Dolphins are obviously better than people realize, but still. Defensively, they're not what we've seen. The Titans and even the Chiefs, I know that they're a little hit or miss defensively.
Yeah.
Still, it's not the same competition. But the good news is, Matthew, if you look ahead to the schedule, they play the Jets.
There you go.
Right. So it's like...
So the next 4, to your point, Jets, Patriots at home, Seahawks at home, at Arizona. 2 matchups you love there, the Jets and the Seahawks. One matchup, and I don't know that you're scared of Arizona despite what we saw last night. I don't know that you're scared of Arizona. I don't know that you're scared of New England, honestly.
Really. Honestly, I mean, the Patriots have really only played, trying to think out loud, they played 2 great quarterbacks this year, Patrick Mahomes and Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson just completely carved him up. And Patrick Mahomes, that was that weird Monday night game where they couldn't get anything going offensively,
right. But
you still got like 20 fantasy points, I think it was. So yeah. I don't know that any of those matchups scare me going forward. So what I would say is that the Bills might have more sort of consternation right now in terms of where they stand in the AFC hierarchy, right? Like, they probably are a weight class below the Chiefs and the Titans and the Steelers and probably the Ravens as well. But from a fantasy perspective, not concerned about Josh Allen at all going forward.
Yeah, no, and I think that's right. I think the concern here around Buffalo, again, like, if Josh Allen lays an egg against the Jets, then I think we can hit the panic button.
But hold on. Can I guarantee something right now?
Yeah.
That ain't happening. Unless he retires this week, Josh Allen's not laying an egg against the Jets. It's just exactly. Not happening.
I think the concern here would be the running game. Because once again, brutal, right? I mean, Devin Singletary, 32 rushing yards, 1 catch for 2 targets, 13 yards, had 5.5 fantasy points. It's not good, Field. It's hashtag not good.
Got it.
With Zach Moss active, which he was last night, he has yet to finish as a top 30 fantasy running back.
Even with him not active.
He wasn't good. He has 1 touchdown this year. He's had 89 touches. He's got 1 touchdown.
I don't have a rhyme or reason to it. Do you?
No. I just, you know, I mean, early on, Josh Allen was vulturing some stuff, so there's that. But he's also like... He looks like he's regressed from the year before. I don't know if it's the offensive line or just, or
part
maybe
of me is like, yeah, do I? It's like, yeah, he's pint size, and like that doesn't usually work in the NFL. But he ran great last year.
He ran great.
He also had like 20 plus touches in 5 straight games down the stretch last season and was super effective.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I can think of is that, you know, and I haven't looked at this, but maybe because last year they just didn't have the weapons they do this year. You know, and it's really Stephon Diggs.
Shouldn't it help them?
Right. You would think that, but the only thing I can think of, again, and I'm like, I'm pulling something out of my, you know, but.
You do that every once in a while.
Dude, I've made a career of it. My point is that last year, maybe they're like, look, the only way we're going to be able to beat people is like by running the ball and trying to control the clock because we're not going to be able to beat people offensively. This year, with another year of John Brown in that system, the addition of Stephon Diggs, you know, Josh Allen another year improved as well. Cole Beasley there. I mean, like, they feel like they and maybe they're just game planning differently. That they're just, you know, that, hey, we're going to beat you. We're going to be much more of an open offense. That's the only thing I can think of it just in terms of the scheme. It just, for whatever reason, hadn't been there for Devin Singletary. It hasn't been there in good matchups, hasn't been there when Zach Moss has been out. It just hadn't been there. He's just been, like, bleh. The fantasy equivalent of like, bleh.
Well, so what we've realized is that right now for the Bills offensively, you've got 2 players you can trust. It's Josh Allen, and again, he's going to bounce back. It's Stephon Diggs, who remains remarkable. He's one of the best wide receivers in football this season. He's up near 600 receiving yards through 6 games.
He's just awesome. And that catch was just ridiculous.
Great. He's
night for the touchdown. Hey, just want to quickly mention Cole Beasley, which I think is just sort of interesting. He caught the touchdown, you know, like whatever, 445, he got the touchdown. But 7 targets, you know, and here's a guy that now has 11 fantasy points or more in 5 straight.
He's our new Mohamed Sanu.
Yeah, I mean, right, he's just like, he's a floor guy is what he is. He's a floor guy, and just in a crazy season, especially for people in deeper leagues, in 12, 14 team leagues, even deeper, although he's probably rostered in like 16 and 14 team leagues. But my point is like, he's a floor guy. Like, as we get through the bye weeks and you're sifting around and there's like, if there's not a lot out there, like, here's a guy that's going to get you double digit fantasy points. And just like, listen, he's not going to win me the week, but he's also not going to lose me the week. He's just, there's just a really nice floor there with Cole Beasley, who, by the way, just for real talk, is a nice little player. He's like legitimately a nice player.
Totally. He's been a good player. Let's get to the second game here, Matthew, and let's sort of pick the pace up a little bit.
How about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys? Did they play last night? Arizona Cardinals.
For the record, the Washington professional football team, as bad as we are, we played the Cardinals tougher.
Right, you did.
We lost, but we played them tougher.
Only a game out of first place right now, if I'm not mistaken. So Kyler went crazy last night from a fantasy perspective.
Buddy.
29 fantasy points. Believe it or not, he was like, what, 10 for 27 as a thrower?
I thought it was nine passes. He completed nine passes.
I mean, he was not effective as a thrower last night. 9 for 24 for 188 yards. 2 touchdowns to the air, 1 as a rusher as well. Gosh, is he fast. He's got at least 21 fantasy points in 6 straight games. The only player in the NFL to do that so far this season. Lock him in as a top 5 quarterback option every single week. I don't want to get into that too much. We have already exhausted some time here, Matthew. And also, there are more interesting players, specifically Kenyon Drake.
Yeah. So Kenyon
Undertaker
Drake,
gif.
Huh?
Undertaker gif for Kenyon Drake.
Pretty much. Are you convinced this is real? And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
So Kenyon Drake had a huge game, right? He had 28.4 fantasy points. The previous 3 weeks combined, 25.6. So more fantasy points on Monday night than he had in the 3 previous weeks combined. But he had 2 touchdowns. One was a bunny touchdown. Kyler Murray down like basically the 1-inch line. I personally, somebody who has Kyler Murray in a couple of leagues, I was like, come on, review that. Because I thought it was close.
He gets 29 fantasy points.
I understand. I'm not complaining. But I'm just saying at the time I was yelling at the screen, like, come on, review that. Because I thought the ball across the goal line as his elbow hit the ground. But whatever. Kyler Murray doesn't get in. He's called down at the inch line. They give it to Kenyon Drake. He waltzes in. Okay, fine. That's a gimme touchdown. Then his other thing is he had, like, what was it, a 69-yard touchdown, I believe. Was it 69, Thursday Kyle? 69-yard touchdown when the score was 31-3. The Cowboys have backups in there. They've just been beaten down.
Those are their backups?
I think so, right?
They had backups. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But my point, it's
the junkiest of junk time BS touchdowns. And that right there, a 69-yard touchdown, that's a 12.9 play.
Yeah.
You take away the gimme bunny touchdown and you take away the 69-yard touchdown when they're up 31-3. Hang on for a second. You're looking at a guy with 9 fantasy points. And I get it. Those two things count and he'll get some bunny touchdowns, but I would say sell high, because I'm going to tell you that even in a game in which Kenyon Drake's best game of the year by far fantasy-wise, to the eye test field, he still did not look like the guy we saw last year. He didn't look like the guy that was explosive, that was cutting corners, that was being used creatively in Kingsbury's offense. He didn't look like that guy. He looked like a guy that got a ton of volume against a team that just got the will beaten out of him, a team that sort of gave up in the second quarter. And so for me, I would take these fantasy points and I would see what I could do and see if I could get a CEH, see if I could get a Joe Mixon, see if I could get a Kareem Hunt, see if I could get Chris Carson, somebody that's coming up, probably not Chris Carson, but I'm just like, but off the bye, or like CMC. I would trade him for CMC right now and say, I'll take CMC that's not going to play for 2 more weeks. I would do that.
Like, yeah, I mean, I think I'm like just, everybody would, I would imagine.
You'd be amazed what's out there in the streets there, Field. But I'm just saying people in fantasy, a lot of times are emotional. The numbers are great and it was a primetime game. So everyone saw that. And Kenyon Drake's still a big name in fantasy. Chase Edmonds is going to be a thing this entire year. And I get it that it doesn't look like it from the box score last night. But yeah, I'm telling you, if I have Kenyon Drake in a league, I would like to sell high.
So I'm a little bit less concerned about him as a runner. Remember last year, he was not a super efficient runner. It's all about the passing game usage. And for whatever reason, he had, what, 2 targets last night for Kenyon Drake? And the Cardinals can talk as much as they want about needing to get him more involved in the passing game. Again, we're in week 7. If it hasn't happened yet, who's to say that guarantees to turn around going forward?
Yet to see more than 2 targets in a game. Yet to have 10 receiving yards in a game this season, which was such a big part of what his fantasy value was last week.
Oh, yeah.
Last year, I should say. One caveat. I do want to mention this. One caveat. Here's the Arizona Cardinals upcoming schedule. Home to Seattle this week. They have a bye. home to Miami, home to Buffalo. Those so three straight home games in good running matchups. So just something to think about. Number one, if you are selling Drake, sell not only the big game but the upcoming schedule. So aim high. I'm not saying just get rid of Drake, but I'm just saying like I think you could get something really, really great for Kenyon Drake. So aim high and certainly use the schedule upcoming as a way to sell that. Or if you want, wait a little while longer, but they do have the bye in 2 weeks. So just something to pay attention to there.
DeAndre Hopkins has 2 catches for 73 yards. He's got a 30 or more yard reception in 4 of 6 games this season. A reminder, Matthew and I debated in the silliest debate of all time during the preseason about who had more upside, DeAndre Hopkins or Tyreek Hill. If I'm not mistaken, I think Hopkins is like one amongst fantasy wide receivers right now.
Yeah.
Hill is like three. So glad we spent 20 minutes on that one during a valuable preseason show.
Yeah. But, I mean, listen, Hopkins has been everything you could have hoped for and so much more. You know, we were a little nervous about him in the preseason just because there were some vibes coming out of Arizona that he hadn't played a lot of, he hadn't had a lot of camp. First year in the new offense, first year with a new quarterback. There was talk, you know, is this a real injury or is this I want a new contract injury? He ends up getting paid. He ends up coming into camp. He ends up balling out.
He's averaging 100 receiving yards per game this season. All right, let's just get to the Cowboys because I think that's really where people are sort of waking up this morning frustrated. And we have to talk about Andy Dalton. Everything else we can...
How about them Cowboys?
Andy Dalton last night, 11 fantasy points. And in the middle of the game, the great Damian Dabrowski, who works... helps us here on the ESPN fantasy side, very involved in
Matthew's fantasy show. For people that watch the fantasy show on ESPN Plus, he is the stat pillar.
And beyond all of his contributions, he's one of the smartest people you'll meet as it pertains to fantasy football and the
NFL.
He's
great. He does a great job for us here. Damian does a great job for us.
Riley tweeted, hey, you know what? Cowboys should trade for Jameis. And I quote tweeted and I was like, we need this to happen. We need it because it would be amazing. And I got all these people clapping back. Andy Dalton's been fine so far tonight. I'm like, did you miss the play where Andy Dalton gift wrapped a pick six to Jordan Hicks,
I know,
who proved why I might actually have a chance to make it in the NFL because I could have caught that pass.
Yeah, Jordan Hicks, bad. That was not his best moment.
Not his best moment. But Andy Dalton, again, I don't care what you tell me about the circumstances. Just spare me them. He was bad last night.
He was bad.
It was bad.
He was bad Andy. We got bad Andy.
6 passing yards last night. This is not a great Cardinals defense as it is. And they were without by far their best defensive player in Chandler Jones, who's out for the season.
Right.
It was a bad performance by Andy Dalton.
It really was. Here's what I tweeted. First off, listen, if you follow Andy Dalton, like maybe people forget because, you know, Andy Dalton hasn't been in the start. He was in and out of the starting lineup for the Bengals last year. And so maybe it's been a little while. But we got bad Andy last night.
We did.
Sometimes we get good Andy. Sometimes we get bad Andy. Last night we got bad Andy. I had Thirsty Kyle look this up. And good job here, Thirsty Kyle. Thirsty Kyle looked it up. So for Andy Dalton, in primetime games, these are games that kicked off 8 p.m. or later, he averages 13.1 fantasy points for his career. How many times have we watched a primetime game and watched Andy Dalton just implode? He's bad in primetime. I don't know what it is. He's bad in primetime. It's like, and by the way, that's almost 3 points worse than his career average, Andy Dalton. Like, he is worse in primetime games than he is traditionally in all other games. What I tweeted out last night, and feel free to argue with me.
Yeah.
Listen, and by the way, Jameis on the Cowboys would be amazing. But assuming they're going to roll with Andy Dalton, what I tweeted out was some version of like, Andy Dalton was bad in prime time. He always has been, always will be. I still ultimately believe that Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, CeeDee Lamb, Dalton Schultz, Ezekiel Elliott will be fine, and that Andy Dalton will be serviceable. Better days are ahead for Andy Dalton and the Cowboys offense.
I mean, the reality is that last night, everybody else was about what they've been so far this season, right?
I mean,
Cooper had 21 fantasy points on 10 targets. CeeDee Lamb, 13.4 fantasy points on 7 catches. He is the first rookie in NFL history to start his career with 6 straight games of at least 5 catches. And Michael Gallup should have caught a touchdown.
Absolutely.
Don't want to talk about that one. But still,
very
he
triggered
has been
on that.
Very unusable so far in fantasy this season. He remained unusable last night with 4.3 fantasy points.
Yeah, but you know what? What was positive is he got 6 targets. Like, they took 3 different shots to him in the end zone. Like, they're trying to get him going. Like, it just didn't work. The passes to them in the end zone, other than the one that hit off his hands, were bad. Like, they did a couple of goal line fades, and you're just like, not even close. Yeah. What are you going to do? But so I was actually encouraged, but they were trying to get him a little bit more involved. You can't start Michael Gallup until you see it. Whatever. I mean, Zeke put the ball on the ground twice. Which is not typically going to happen. I know he's had some fumble issues this year, but like, more often than not, when you think about how many times Ezekiel Elliott has carried the ball in his NFL career, better days are ahead for Zeke. Stop it. And I know the offensive line got banged up too. That's the other piece.
There are two points that need to be made here. We don't want to ignore them, but I also think there's a chance that they may not matter that much in fantasy. The offensive line is now down left tackle Tyron Smith, right guard Zach Martin, right tackle Lyle Collins, Joe Looney, who is a reserve fill-in center. They are down basically, they're like the Eagles. They are down so many offensive linemen. Of course, Travis Frederick retired this offseason. As weird as it sounds, I still think there's going to be enough rushing game usage for Zeke Elliott, and they're going to be able to throw the football enough that they're going to get to the red zone or the goal line, and he'll pound it in a couple times.
And he's part of the passing game, too. They dump it off to him. Yeah, I mean, like...
But that's part one, and part two is this.
Yeah,
we can have a lot of jokes, and we'll have plenty of jokes. The Cowboys' defense, like, they're going to... I don't know how much they are historically bad already, but they have a chance to finish in an historically bad defense.
Oh, yeah.
And that's going to lead. I mean, look at this last night. Dalton had 266 passing yards. It was a bad night for him. And again, Amari Cooper, usable. CeeDee Lamb, usable. Dalton Schultz, usable for tight ends, because don't tell me 7.5 points is not usable. Those of us who roster Mike Gesicki this past weekend.
In a game
and Zeke
in which,
got 12 fantasy points.
Dude, in a game in which everything that could have gone wrong for the Cowboys could have gone wrong, in which Andy Dalton looked as bad as we've ever seen Andy Dalton. He still finished with 11 fantasy points.
Yeah.
I mean, like, not that that's great, but like better than Aaron Rodgers this week.
Hey.
He was better than Aaron Rodgers this week. No, he was. You're right. Aaron Rodgers had under 4 fantasy points this week. I'm just whatever. Bad games are going to happen so far. He attempted 54 passes in this game, Field. That's the second most of his career. And by the way, we're going to say that a lot. You know, like, he's going to average 40 pass attempts or more the rest of the season because this Cowboys defense is so bad. I understand why you would be panicked if you were a Cowboys fan, but if I was somebody that had invested in a Cowboys offensive player for fantasy, I would not be panicked any more than I was coming into the game, Michael Gallup, you know, being the... Michael Gallup being the one guy that you're nervous about, but the rest of the guys you shouldn't be nervous about. And I still think Andy Dalton's going to be a viable, you know, streamer, usable quarterback in fantasy going forward. I do. Because again, that they're just going to have to throw that much, and he won't be as bad as he was last night. They play the Vikings this week.
Ooh.
Kirk Cousins versus Andy Dalton.
That's week 11.
Oh, is that week 11?
A little bit down the road, but if we get that flexed into primetime.
There you go.
Wow.
Week 11.
Someone's got to win that game. Or we got to get moving here. So let's keep things rolling here. And Shell knows that between every tee up, layup, and batter up, that you can't wait to catch up with your favorite podcast. So come to Shell and get three things done at once. First, fill up with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus to help keep your engine running like new. Then save up with the Fuel Rewards program and never pay full price for gas again. And finally, snack up with in-store rewards to save even more at the pump. Oh, time to wrap it up. Make the most of the stop you need to make with Shell and engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. See full terms and conditions at FuelRewards.com.
Field, do you ever feel like you're always on?
All the time.
What do you do when you need a moment to chill? There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. Coors Light wants you to know that no matter what sport is on this fall, Saturdays are your time to chill. Doesn't matter what team or sport is playing, Coors Light is the official beer of watching any sport or team just to drink beer. So flip through the channels, find a sport, and crack open a Coors Light. Coors Light, the one to choose when you need to unwind, so when you want to hit reset. Reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door at get.coorslight. That can't be right. That's what it says on my script here.
That's right.
Get.coorslight. Get.com.
That's right.
Get.coorslight.com. All right. There you go. So apparently that's right. Get.coorslight.com.
That's right. Well done there. All right. I want to pull a little bit of an audible here. Hopefully I don't screw the entire operation up, but I wanted to talk to Stefania about some injury updates. Then we're going to get into some backfield instead, because there was some news yesterday, Stefania, and it impacts waivers, which we'll get to a little bit later on as well. So just the news side of this, and we'll talk waiver impact a little bit later. The Eagles, I don't know what to say, Stefania, but rip us through a few of their injury updates led by Miles Sanders.
Yeah, they took a chapter out of the 49ers playbook. I mean, so many injuries. Miles Sanders not expected to play this week, obviously, with the Eagles on a Thursday night game. There's just really no time. We know he has a knee injury. It sounds like he could potentially be back the following week, but he might also miss a second week as well. That's where we stand right now. And then Zach Ertz with the ankle injury, we saw him struggling going in and out of the game. He's expected to miss 3 to 4 weeks, according to Chris Mortensen. No details on the nature of the injury, but obviously a multi-week injury for Zach Ertz is problematic.
Okay, that is not great at all. He has been Iron Man for the Eagles. You can tell me about how his production's been bad this year, but that guy is almost always on the field.
Feel bad for him. Contract year, wants the Neil deal, not getting it, and now out for 3 to 4 weeks. Feel bad for Zach Ertz.
Interesting year of brewing ahead for Zach Ertz. Stefania, you just made the comparison between the Eagles and the 49ers, and that means we have to, of course, update the 49ers with Raheem Mostert, but a few other injury updates, I think, sort of tied to it as well.
Yeah, well, Raheem Mostert now dealing with a high ankle sprain on his left ankle. Most likely will go on IR, according to Kyle Shanahan. I mean, we just got Raheem Mostert back from the MCL injury he suffered in week 2, and he's been amazing. And now he has a high ankle sprain, so he'll be out for a while. They're not counting on Tevin Coleman coming back in the immediate future. So Jerick McKinnon is the running back name that we know. There will be others, but they also lost their center. They also have Trent Williams dealing with an ankle injury. So like the Eagles, pretty much take the whole first string of the roster and they're injured.
I'll put you on the spot here, Stefania. Did I hear something about Jeff Wilson and his progress yesterday as well?
Yes, it sounds like Jeff Wilson improving, and there's a chance that you get to see more action from Jeff Wilson. I mean, they're always trying to like rotate in and out with the guys who are able to make it.
Right.
So yeah, Jeff Wilson is a name. There's a reason you heard about him yesterday.
Jerick McKinnon, Jeff Wilson, potentially Jamichael Hasty in that 49ers backfield. Goodness gracious. I mean, the past 2 years, they've been without Jerick McKinnon. Where would they be without Jerick McKinnon this season? And then, Stefania, one more. I know they're on a bye, so I don't know if we got much information from them yesterday, but did you hear anything about Mark Ingram, who got banged up with the ankle injury?
Well, John Harbaugh does say that he expects to have him against the Steelers, so that's encouraging. They have the bye this week. If you're going to get injured and it's relatively minor, that's the time to have it, is right before a bye week. So it sounds like they think Ingram will be back, but obviously he wouldn't commit to it fully just yet.
That sort of pivots us perfectly into what we wanted to talk about yesterday, but time became sort of an issue. So we're going to get into a couple of backfields and use that context of Mark Ingram. Talk about the Ravens backfield, Matthew. So he probably is going to be ready for week 8. Not a great matchup against the Steelers. At some point, so if you're stating a case in the first time around, you're repeating yourself the second time around, you're a broken record by the third time around, what are you by the fourth time around when you're basically telling people the Ravens' backfield is unusable until further notice?
Yeah, it's insanity. What's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again? Right? I mean, like, listen, so Mark Ingram's going to be back after their bye. Whatevs. Whatevs. I mean, like, whatevs. Like, I mean, like, great. Good for the Ravens. Good for Mark Ingram. Like, we like the Ravens. We like Mark Ingram. We don't like him for fantasy. Like, unusable until further notice.
And you know, it's
that simple. Mark Ingram leaves that game, in a game in which they were beating the Eagles by quite a bit at the time. J.K. Dobbins still doesn't. I mean, Gus Edwards still gets more things. Like, I want J.K. Dobbins to be a thing, you know, in the worst way. It's not happening. Like, it's field. It's not going to happen. Like, this is me throwing up my hands and bailing on J.K. Dobbins becoming a thing this year.
This is wild. So there's been a lot of frustration surrounding the Ravens offense, right? It feels like people are sort of pointing at them, saying like, we want more out of you. The Ravens have scored in every single quarter this season.
Of course.
24 quarters with points. That is unbelievable.
They're great. They're just,
but they really aren't.
But for our purposes, they're not.
Right. But as they really aren't. They themselves are frustrated. So I think it tells you what you need to know. Hopefully better days are ahead, but I don't know that it'll be better days are ahead, including a running back you can count on. A little bit frustrating right now in Washington. And I get it. I'm not talking about how you feel about them as a team because they're 1-5. I mean, because
I'm thrilled. Tank for Trevor, baby.
Well, they really aren't. I mean,
especially we're in the mix.
No Dwayne Haskins. Anyways.
We're in the mix. That was a great loss on Sunday. We had a chance at winning it, but you know what? We didn't.
Right. I mean, and if
thank you, New York Giants.
How about this? I will make this really quick. If they can get Chase Young and Trevor Lawrence in back-to-back years, with Ron Rivera too, Mike, sign me up for that. J.D. Right. McKissick plays 11 more snaps than Antonio Gibson. McKissick has 8 carries, 6 catches on 6 targets. He's got 3 straight games with 10 at least 10 points just as a receiver. Are we fading Gibson now? What do you make of this backfield?
I don't know that we're fading Gibson, but look, J.D. McKissic was my long shot on Fantasy Football Now, and what I talked about there was, yeah, like, worked out. I mean, like, so, like, he was a top 25 fantasy running. Oh, where was J.D. McKissic? J.D. McKissic finished last week as, he had over 14 fantasy points, yeah. So he was probably a top 20 guy. Oh, he's running 12. Back 10. He's yeah. a top, what? He was, yeah. what?
12 after last night.
12 game. After last night. Okay, the graphic says 10 here, but right, updated for Monday Night Football, he's running back 12. So pretty good call in terms of J.D. McKissic. Here's the thing. So the argument for McKissic and what I made on Fantasy Football Now was there's a floor there, right? Like 8 carries for 41 yards, 6 catches on 6 targets for 43 yards. It's his third straight game field with at least 6 catches and 40 receiving yards. Right. And the other thing is that the Peyton Barber experiment has gone away. It that backfield is now J.D. McKissic and Antonio Gibson. And you think about a quarterback in Kyle Allen who likes to dump off. I mean, think about what Christian McCaffrey did last year in Carolina. It was all dump offs from Kyle Allen. They don't have a lot of weapons in Washington other than Terry McLaurin in that passing attack. I mean, Logan Thomas has a moment here or there. Dontrell Inman has a moment here or there. You know, I know they want to try to get Antonio Gandy-Golden going. You know, he got it banged up last week, but they don't have a lot of weapons. And so on an offensive line that's also beat up, Kyle Allen is often under pressure. And what are you doing when you're under pressure? You're dumping off to two very good pass-catching versatile running backs in Antonio Gibson and J.D. McKissic. This is a true running back by committee on a bad team. So I do think that, I don't know that we're fading Antonio Gibson, but I think he's a flex play. And that's what I think J.D. McKissic is. And sort of like, in my argument for J.D. McKissic, he finishes running back 12 only because the week was awful, truthfully, right? And it worked out well. It was a nice call by me on Fantasy Football Now. But going forward, J.D. McKissic is what I talked about with Cole Beasley earlier. He's a floor guy. He's like, I need a running back. Every guy is banged up. It's also a bye week. I don't want to drop all these guys. I need someone to like get me 10 points. I just need someone to sort of get me through. And that's J.D. McKissic. Not going to win you the week, but won't lose you the week either. He has a legit role on that team.
The Broncos were without Melvin Gordon this past week. He was sick. Stefania, put you on the spot here. Any idea, like, I would think logically it wouldn't persist into this upcoming week?
I don't think we can commit to Melvin Gordon being here this week, actually. So it kind of depends on when he's able to get back into practice. There's a chance, but they're not ready to commit to Melvin Gordon being available. And obviously, Philip Lindsay, coming off the turf toe injury, performed really well, and no setbacks, I'm told, after Sunday's game.
I don't want this to come across as a shot across the bow of the Broncos, because they got a great win on Sunday. But
it really did.
Philip Lindsay's game on Sunday reminded me of why the Broncos shouldn't have signed Melvin Gordon in the first place. $16 million to like be like maybe slightly better. Like, Phil Woods is good. Back to back 1,000-yard seasons for him to begin his career. Only undrafted free agent to ever do that. And they played fine on Sunday in the ground game.
It's super weird when you think about the Broncos front office, because you know they've nailed every other move they've made, and so
hey, be careful,
you know
man.
What I mean, like the one rare misfire. What are you going to do?
They won on Sunday, though.
Big they win. Did indeed.
But anyway,
go Broncos. By the way, the Broncos, like, no Cortland Sutton. Like, their team looks a lot different than they expected it to at this point in the season. In fairness to Denver.
So I don't know that we can have a super deep conversation about this backfield, because, again, if Melvin Gordon's not back this week, I have a hard time envisioning him being sick and being questionable going into the game and missing, like, more than two games, even if he misses this Sunday.
Right.
So my point is that we can hash out how the backfield looked this past Sunday, but is it going to matter this Sunday? Probably not.
No, I don't think it does. I think the interesting thing is, and we don't have enough of a sample size to judge here, what happens when Melvin Gordon comes back and Philip Lindsay isn't dealing with turf toe? Because we just haven't seen that enough, yep. Right? And so, like, we know what it looks like without Philip Lindsay, and we now know what it looks like without Melvin Gordon, but what does it look like with both those guys back in this new iteration of the offense with Drew Locke under center and Tim Patrick leading? I mean, by the way, Noah Fant missed that game too. Like, we haven't seen what the Broncos want their offense to look like, you know, even given that Sutton's out for the year. Like, let me see what it looks like when Gordon's back, when Lindsay's back, when Fant is back, and they've got Locke under center. So, I think remains to be seen. At the moment, I think Melvin Gordon is still what he is, which is like, you know, low-end RB2. Yeah, I think that's right.
My microphone is doing a dance here right now.
Yeah, microphone issues.
All right, let's talk about quarterbacks for a second.
Sure.
Just bear with me for a second.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you if a quarterback, all things being equal, if these quarterbacks strike you as must start almost every week. Okay?
Sure.
Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
Lamar Jackson.
Yes.
Russell Wilson.
Yes.
Kyler Murray.
Yes.
Josh Allen.
Yes.
Okay. I agree. I'm glad we don't, like, let's not overreact.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
Sean Watson.
Yes.
Aaron Rodgers.
So we're at six, and I would say Aaron Rodgers is seven. Yes.
Okay. Tom Brady.
No, not yet.
Okay. So we're not quite there yet with Tom Brady.
Yeah. I think more often than not, you're starting him, but I don't think it's a no-brainer. I'm not looking at the matchup. I don't care if, you know, Godwin and Evans and everyone else is banged up. I don't care. I'm starting him. He's not there yet.
Cam Newton?
No.
Okay. No. Okay.
I don't think he's a must-start no-brainer. I'm defining this as I don't look at the matchup. I don't look at who else is on the field. I don't care. Like, you know, if Tom Brady has another game where he's got a tough matchup on the road and he has no Evans or Godwin, you're thinking about it. Like, you're like, right? So same with Cam Newton. No, I don't think Cam Newton is a no-brainer. I'm not thinking about it.
Matt Ryan, yes or no?
As long as Julio's out there, yes.
Okay, got it. All right. So what I was trying to get to is that's like somewhere
eight
between
guys.
I
named eight guys.
Yeah, but with the caveat of Brady maybe being nine-ish, right? So
right.
Whatever. Ryan Tannehill, along those lines.
He needs
to be in that. He's an absolute yes. But my point in saying that is that, not to take away from Ryan Tannehill at all, but I think that's probably why right now Ryan Tannehill is available in 46% of leagues.
Maybe, but... Go ahead.
Negligence. My thing is that maybe this is just that people feel like there are so many other locked-in options that it's still hard for them to come around on Ryan Tannehill. Maybe this is probably it, Matthew. He had a really tough stretch in his career with the Dolphins, right? Tears the ACL, and also he struggles. He's up and down. But the bottom line is this. If Ryan Tannehill, for some reason, is available in your leagues, and again, as of right now, so don't at me with what league is Ryan Tannehill available. I'm telling you that in 46% of the hundreds of thousands of leagues...
Millions
of leagues on ESPN.com, he's available in 46% of them. I don't care your quarterback.
To your point, listen, ESPN standard leagues are 10-team leagues where you start one quarterback. Yeah. And we just named eight, right? You know, and then you've got Cam, and you've got other guys that are in that mix.
Right.
Right?
And 2 weeks ago, we would have said Cam, yes.
Right, sure.
He's been a top 10 quarterback at least three times so far.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's played four games. So, and Matt Ryan was coming off the bat. So anyways, the point is that so here's what I'm trying to say.
But I would say...
I don't care if you have Lamar Jackson. Go grab him. I don't care. Try.
Because here's what I would tell you.
Trade him.
Not only that, because sometimes it's hard to trade a guy that was just on the waiver wire. Like, because everyone else in your league, like, yeah, I looked at that guy and I decided to bid on Boston Scott or whatever, pick up him. But here's what you can do. If you've got Patrick Mahomes, you've got Lamar Jackson, you've got, you know, Deshaun Watson, you've got a quote-unquote sexier quarterback, and you manage to pick up Ryan Tannehill, then what you do is like, listen, I lost Saquon. I'm trying to piece it together here at the running back position. Let me tell you what. I know that Ryan Tannehill isn't sexy, but that he's going to give me great top 10 fantasy quarterback production. So tell you what I'll do. I'll trade you Patrick Mahomes. I'll take a slight downgrade at quarterback, but I'm going to get a massive upgrade at the running back position or wide receiver or tight end or whatever you're trading somebody like Mahomes or Jackson or Watson or Wilson or whoever for. Right. I mean, just because that's what I'm saying is that Ryan Tannehill is legit Ryan Tannehill. Like, he is, like, if we were ranking the guys that you just asked me about for the rest of the season, give me Ryan Tannehill over Aaron Rodgers.
Of course.
Just fantasy wise. Yeah. Fantasy wise. Don't. But
I don't. Is there a conversation about real football, too?
I mean, poo-poo it. I mean, last week was bad.
I'm kidding.
Last week was bad.
You know what? I shouldn't say I'm kidding. I should say this is that
Ryan Tannehill's played awesome.
Reasonable minds could debate Aaron Rodgers versus Ryan Tannehill right now. And if you have a problem with that, let's debate. But I'm just telling you, reasonable minds could
debate. It's a conversation. Regardless of whether you wind up on the Rodgers side or the Tannehill side, there is no question about it. Ryan Tannehill is playing fantastic football. He's not only playing fantastic fantasy football, he's playing fantastic real football. Like, give the guy credit.
Yep.
Like, he is accurate and efficient. And he is using the pieces that Tennessee has given him really, really well. And credit to Arthur Smith and the entire staff in Tennessee. They've done a great job at setting up play action, putting Derrick Henry in a spot to succeed. And keep in mind, Tannehill, you know, didn't have A.J. Brown for much of the start of the season. And now, you know, didn't have Jonnu Smith for a lot of last week's game. Like, Ryan Tannehill, like, listen,
awesome.
I mean, like, he is... He is Exhibit A in the players do better when they get away from Adam Gase. He is Exhibit A.
We call it the glow up.
Yeah.
The glow up. A couple more quarterbacks, and then we have to get the waivers to conclude the show. Yeah. But Carson Wentz, I know you feel as though he is a great buy low target right now. I still think, Matthew, as we just talked about, it's going to be hard for him to be a lock-it-in starter in a 10-team league. It's going to be borderline.
Given all the names we just talked about, sure, but certainly I think he's another guy that, again, like if you're hurting somewhere else, you could pick him up, you could be using him and trade a guy with a bigger name. Again, I keep going back to the fact, Giants, Cowboys, bye, Giants, Browns.
He'll be a top five. He could be a top five quarterback on a points per game basis for the next 5 weeks. Wouldn't surprise anybody whatsoever.
Yes, Ertz is out, but with Miles Sanders banged up, they're going to rely on him even more. He's going to get DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey back. Maybe not for Thursday, but hopefully by next week. Goddard is eligible to come off the IR on Thursday. We don't expect that to happen. But again, that team will, believe it or not, will get healthier. And it may not even matter because with guys falling down around him, it has been ugly at times, but by hook or by crook, Carson Wentz is continuing to produce fantasy points last couple of weeks.
He's throwing to players who we don't even have in our database on ESPN.com, yeah. And he's still finding his way to useful fantasy football outings on Sunday. Last one here, as we talked about all these quarterbacks, and you may have noticed I did not ask Matthew about Drew Brees. In weeks 1 through 5, he's quarterback 20 in a points per game basis. He's at 17.8 fantasy points per game, but almost all of that has come without Michael Thomas. Do you think there's a chance that he comes roaring back over the next 4 weeks or so?
There's always a chance. I mean, because I don't know how fair it is to judge the guy without Michael Thomas. And he had a huge fantasy day against the Chargers on Monday night before the bye. All that said, their upcoming schedule is not pretty. Home to Carolina. The Panthers have been better defensively than I think they get credit for, especially at least in the pass defense. Like, they're not great, but they're not as horrific as you might think they are. At the Bears, at Tampa Bay, home to San Francisco. So, and to the eye test, Drew Brees hasn't looked like Drew Brees. Like, he's been a little bit more dinky and dunky than normal. Yeah. I mean, you know, so it's unfair to judge him without Michael Thomas, but I am waiting to judge him with Michael Thomas as opposed to saying, oh yeah, he's definitely back.
We're going to come back to waiver wires, talk about a couple other quarterbacks that might need to be in that conversation.
Yeah, wow, you're might having real...
It's not me. It's me, whatever.
It happens. It happens. Listen, it's just one of those things that happens. It's okay.
I'll figure this out. Anyways, we're talking about quarterbacks that may need to be started. I'll just hold my microphone for the rest of the segment.
You got whiskey mic.
Stefania is the person that keeps us calm. Tell us about calm, Stefania.
Oh, I shall.
Thank you.
If you take pride in your job, it may be hard to admit you're a little burned out from this year.
Yeah.
We can all agree that 2020 has taken its toll, and it's time to pay attention to your mental well-being. Matthew, I'm talking to you. With Calm for Business, companies can partner with the number one mental fitness app to provide support and tools for their employees. Calm has a library of content specifically designed to help work teams stress less, sleep better, and build mental resilience. This includes lo-fi music playlists, quick breathing breaks, guided meditations, and hundreds of soothing sleep stories to feel relaxed and more prepared for whatever comes your way. They even have programs tailored for mental health and productivity, like our Mindfulness at Work series. Millions of employees at over 600 companies like Lincoln, Iterable, and Universal Studios use Calm for Business. And right now, Calm is offering a free well-being guide and a free demo when you go to calm.com/focus. And if Calm for Business is right for your team, they are also offering a free month of your first year when you go to calm.com/focus. That's a month free of unlimited access when you go to calm.com/focus. Get started today at calm.com/focus.
How do you banish high rates on car insurance? You switch to Geico during Geico-ween. Brouhaha! October is their favorite time of the year, and the folks over at Geico have been working even harder to cast out high rates and craft just the right policy for you and your family. Switching to Geico isn't so scary, especially when they could brew up spellbinding savings just for you. So get a quote today at geico.com and see just how much you could save. No eye of newt needed. Happy Geico-ween, everyone.
Field Yates, you are the author of Free Agent Finds, the Waiver Wire column here on ESPN.com. Of course, I am a company man.
No.
Oh, yeah, that's right. No secret scroll, no drops. If you do need a quarterback, we just talked about this. You know, listen, with Fitzy and Lamar Jackson out this week, you may need one. So,
yeah, and I broke a rule this week at the top of the column. You'll see this was an editorial decision to say, you know, we got to include Ryan Tannehill and also Carson Wentz because they have been really good of late, and they're just over 50% roster. So keep an eye on those two players that we just discussed. If not, you want a true waiver ad, Justin Herbert, who in three of his four starts has at least 20 fantasy points, over 310 passing yards or three passing touchdowns in all four of his starts. He's done so with limited pass catchers, injuries to both Mike Williams and Keenan Allen, and hopefully he has both of those players back healthy and soon. He's finding a way. We keep talking about the word special as it pertains to Justin Herbert.
He really is. And he's going to be special from a real-life standpoint and special from a fantasy perspective. We always talk every week about how ugly it is at running back. I don't think I've ever seen a week uglier than this one.
It's about as bad as there is right now. So I'm going to give you the names. We talked about J.D. McKissic earlier on, available in nearly 78% of leagues. As Matthew mentioned, he has been an effective part of their passing game, has more of a floor than most running backs. And then, again, everything else beyond that was basically a begrudging inclusion of running backs. LaMichael Perine, I put him on the list. Again, I am speaking with a lack of enthusiasm by design. I don't want you all to feel excited about adding LaMichael Perine because the outlook, in my opinion, is not particularly rosy. But he had 7 carries in week 6 for 27 yards, and he did out-snap Frank Gore. The idea here is that as the Jets are starting to make moves around their roster, they traded away one of their few reliable veterans in Steve McClendon to the Buccaneers after Sunday's game. You might see this team say, it's time for a youth movement. This might be, despite Adam Gase's love for Frank Gore, and that's well documented, this may be top-down management. This may be Joe Douglas saying, I get it. And I'm not saying this definitely happened, but I'm just imagining a scenario where he says, dude, that's great. I can evaluate Frank Gore. He's been playing for 15 years. We need to evaluate LaMichael Perine because if he becomes something really special this year, then we could say bypass running backs.
Right. We don't need to address it next year in the draft or free agency.
Even behind a bad offensive line, if you just don't see what you're loving, then they may need to pair Trevor Lawrence with Travis Etienne, his running back teammate at Clemson as well, because they do have 2 first-round picks.
Yes, they do. So, you know, I'll just a couple of things real quickly on the running backs. Number one is Justin Jackson's out there in a decent amount of leagues. That's somebody that I would look at quite a bit, obviously. Looked like he took over that backfield from Joshua Kelly before the bye. And so the Chargers with a decent matchup this week.
I forgot someone, though, because I know we had this note.
They're playing the Jags. They're playing the Jaguars. So, yeah, go ahead. What do you got?
I'm sorry that I didn't mention this off the top. There actually is one name that matters this week in running backs. It's Boston Scott.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So Boston Scott's available in 89% of leagues. Corey Clement will be a part of this backfield as well. But if you look back to the end of last season, Boston Scott did play well when they were so limited. It wasn't that Miles Sanders was banged up. It's that all the pass catchers were banged up. Effective pass catcher, better runner than you'd expect for a guy who's 5'6" and 190 pounds. And it might be 1 week, it might be 2 weeks, as 2 weeks, as Stefania said earlier. So yes, Boston Scott, the clear-cut number one running back ad of the week.
Although I would say if Justin Jackson's available in your league, because I want to say it's like 40% available or something like that, not low enough to make your column, but he is out there in a decent amount of leagues. I would say Justin Jackson would be my guy over Boston Scott, because I think he has a fantasy-relevant role longer, at least as far as we know, with Sanders' injury right now. The other thing I will say is if you're looking for a running back this week, use the week to, like, pick up a Tony Pollard. Pick up a, pick up somebody like, whatever, Chase Edmonds or, you know, somebody like that. Pick up a backup to your guy. I mean, I know it didn't work out with Alexander Mattison, but it did with Mike Davis. You know, I would want to try to ensure my top running back, if I could. Carlos Hyde, who's out there in a lot of leagues and should be back for the Seahawks, to back up Chris Carson. Let's move on to pass catchers now.
I'll just rip through these fast.
Yeah, go for it.
We start with Travis Fulgham for the Eagles. If you don't know his story by now, that's on you. He has been great. He is available in nearly 55% of leagues. He would be my number 2 waiver ad of the week in the non-quarterback category behind only his teammate, Boston Scott. You mentioned Tim Patrick has been pretty effective for the Broncos actually recently. Had over 100 receiving yards, not just this past Sunday, but the Thursday before that. A guy who seems to be finding his way within that Broncos offense a little bit. And then just a couple of tight end options, because there are a lot of tight ends that you are considering adding in place of someone like Zach Ertz, who obviously had struggled, but still now he's hurt. Trey Burton, back-to-back games of playing pretty effectively for the Colts. Darren Fells is a big body, and he's got 10 touchdowns since the start of last year. 10. He's 6 foot six. He's a huge, huge man. I believe he actually is a former basketball player as well, because, of course, he is a former basketball player. And then I mentioned Dallas Goedert yesterday. Don't know that he definitely returns for Thursday night, but he is eligible to play, and he could be a guy that could have some value going forward. All right, quickly, we'll get out on trivia. Kyle, what do you got for us?
Super easy, no strings attached trivia today. Who leads the league in passing yards through 6 weeks of the NFL season?
This one is easy. Finally one that we can get.
So easy.
Finally one that we can
get. We'll update a poll here while you guys answer. Clyde Edwards-Helaire or Kareem Hunt for the rest of the season? 55% side with Kareem Hunt.
Interesting. All right. That's proposed trade. That's a really interesting question. Stefania, you care to venture a guess on who leads the league in passing yards through 6 weeks?
Wait, well, now that you said it was easy, I'm feeling self-conscious.
Okay.
I was going to guess like Josh Allen, but I don't even like that guess.
Okay, you can go with Josh Allen. It's a good guess.
I'm not feeling it. But that's who I have no other options in
Josh
my
Allen.
Brain.
Matthew, you go ahead. You go ahead, because I'm a...
Dak.
I was just going
to... It's Dak.
I was literally going to put Dak. I put Russell Wilson, but I was just like, I was going to change it to put Dak because I'm like, that's got to be the answer, right?
See, it's a trick
yards.
Question.
It's like 400 yards every game.
Dak Prescott is in fact right. Yeah. Five games played. He is 13 yards ahead of Matt Ryan.
Oh, look at you, Kyle.
Look at that.
Kyle, we used to be friends, but you tried to trip me up and it worked by somebody who's not playing any longer. That's not really fair.
I was going to say Dak. I would be honest. I was actually going to say Dak.
Oh, you know what? Stop.
Yeah, well, no, I would be honest. Like, I'm always honest about this stuff. Like, I don't care about this.
With that, but we'll find out.
You
all right.
Care.
Wednesday show, a ton of rankings, plus any kind of news updates that we get today. Hopefully some positive news on the injury front for Matthew and Stefania and Kyle on field. We'll be back to talk about Week 7 rankings and so much more tomorrow.
Great new episode of the Fantasy Show on ESPN+. Plus. Please check it out. Peace out.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.